This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
We got the biz.
Hey, welcome to the biz, y'all.
Episode numero dos. All right, that's good vibes. That's good vibes. You know, episode two. You know, we got me and Rizzo. If you guys don't know who we are, then, you know, that's your problem. But basically, we're here to give you a podcast on all things Rocket League related and outside of Rocket League, all the esports news, all the gaming news in the world. You know, all the good stuff, everything just involving life on Twitch, everything, you know, we got it covered here. So we have a special guest today, someone me and Rizzo have known for a very long time, someone who has been involved in the Rocket League scene before, one of the first coaches in Rocket League history, best coaches in Rocket League history. Rizzo, why don't you go ahead and introduce us to this beautiful man,
The man, the myth, the legend, Chad. What is up, Chad? Hey, look at him!
I was good. We got the
Hello.
How you doing? You know,
pretty good, dude. You know, it's been on the grind streaming. You know, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on the show.
That's good to hear, Mr. Chad. So, for everyone that does not know, Chad was the original coach of Rocket League. He was one of the first ever on Take 3 Rizzo's roster. So he was Rizzo's coach. And you know, he has been
coach
streaming.
Slash manager. Do not undermine
this man's
true.
I did it all, right? You know,
We'll get into that.
The one stop shop of Rocket League.
Anything you need, bro, I was there, you know.
But it really is the master of everything, dude. Takes care of biz.
Hey.
So, to introduce Chad, he has been streaming since the start of 2013, near the end of 2012, around there. You know, he plays all types of games. He's an expert in the FPS category. He has a Chad of a Chad car. You know, he just walks around, Mr. Steal Your Girl, no problem. You know, that's him. 347,000 followers on Twitch, 46,000 on Twitter, 4,400 hours streamed in comparison to Rizzo's measly 3K and my 1.3K. So, let's not get into that. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we can't just skip past that too quick. 1.3K. I think you're slacking there a little bit.
Yeah. Let's not get too into that. Okay. You know, we'll leave that. I just became a streamer this year, you know, so.
That's fair.
Anyway. True. So, let's get into our first topic, shall we?
Yes, agreed.
Okay. Go ahead, Rizzo. Take this one. Go ahead.
All right, sure. First topic, Fall Major just concluded. Well, I guess for every region, right? They're all done now? And it was the last one, right?
Okay. Yeah, and it was the last one.
Make sure on that.
OCE already won, right? I believe they already won.
Yeah. You know, thinking about it, we probably should have prepped the other regions, but I think we're only going to talk about NA
Just NA, yeah.
I mean, that's all we really, you know. Yeah, that's our expertise here.
Yeah.
I mean, basics of it is the big four. We're in the top four, so that's cool for us, right?
Yeah, that's all cool. Good.
Space Station took the dub, which is not cool for us. That's not poggers. Besides that, dude, the viewership on that was insane.
Yeah,
for what everybody was expecting, I think.
Yeah, the viewership was ridiculous. I don't know if Chad really saw the major or saw the viewers,
Oh yeah, of course I saw, bro. That was huge. That was huge. It was like am I wrong, or is that the like biggest Rocket League showing as far as online like viewership?
Online, right? For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, online, that's online crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
I think in part of it too, just the teams that were in the top four. Like, you know, go back to the big four. We have, you know, SSG, G2, NRG, and Envy. I think everyone kind of expected that to be the top four, and I thought it was just a really good tournament all along. You know, game 7 SSG, G2, we had game 6 SSG, NRG, they beat us. SSG won the whole event. We had beaten Peeps, and then we beat Envy, and then Rizzo. Who'd you guys play round 1?
We played Rogue into Rogue. SSG.
Okay, so how was that, because I didn't watch that series.
Rogue?
Yeah,
for us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, this might just be a good thing. You don't have to watch that. You know, okay. What I'm saying? Not to put you through that.
All right. Well, then,
was good though. Like for us, it was solid. Like, you know how like sometimes there's a series where it's just like, wow, what am I watching? Like for us, it was good, but. Not so much the other
team. Okay, Rizzo, talk that shit, I guess.
Okay, all right, so Rizzo's coming out with the cannons all of a sudden, so no problem on there. All right, so Rizzo had an easy time. I actually thought that we played Peeps, right? Against Peeps,
yeah,
I felt like we kind of peaked on them, too. It was just kind of like they got farmed, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just, I was.
Okay, so
it's giving for the boys.
You're talking that shit.
I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying, you know, we did 8-0 them one game. So it was like 8-2.
Yeah, hey, we 6-1, I think, or 6-2 or something.
Yeah, good vibe. Good vibes for the boys. We don't talk about what happened in the finals. You know, we don't talk about what happened in your semifinals.
What matters is. After, or like, what matters is
round
the
one.
Finals
round
matchup.
One, yeah. Round
that
one.
That was the craziest.
Yeah. So. We took an L, SSG won. SSG right now, probably the best team in NA. I think it just keeps kind of swapping all the time. You know, every other week, one of someone else is being someone else. You know, it's been a good season for Fall. You wanna go into what you thought of the winter split format announcement at the end? Because I know we talked about that earlier off stream, and we were a little frustrated, you know, but why don't you go ahead and give the rundown what you thought.
Well, before we go into that, I just wanted to chat. Did you catch any of the matches for the major, or were you just like skimming?
A handful. I'm keeping myself pretty busy with like the stream grind recently, but I try to like hop in. Like I check your guys' streams out all the time, and I do hop on like the actual Rocket League stream when there's like some RLCS type activity going on, but I wouldn't say I like watch them in their entirety. But I do try to like keep up and see how the teams are doing and who's on what team and all that.
At least NA, right? Like EU's resident
sleeper. Yeah, EU, or yeah, not EU, just NA for
yeah.
the most part.
Yeah, no, respect. I don't blame you. EU's a snooze fest. but yeah, okay, that's good to see that Chad's watching. Yeah, usually whenever it's top of the Twitch charts, like, you know, my friend, like even the TDC homies, like they'll see it and they'll be like, oh, it's a Rocket League event. Like they just know, because if it has more than 5,000 viewers, then something's wrong. So.
Yeah.
That's usually how they end up, too. All right. Winter split format?
Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah,
so
let's talk about that.
For the actual
Let's
regional...
talk about the announcement. Hold on. Announcement first. I want to know what about that. This is what I wanted to get into. I wanted to know what you thought about the announcement. Because so I thought this was kind of funny.
I don't know anything, really, behind it. They don't tell... Like, people think, like, they, like Sonics is, like, constantly... in my ear, or like anybody, any of ours, like telling me stuff, or you guys, or whatever, or you, Scissor, yeah,
yeah.
But they really don't mention anything. So when they're like, "Oh yeah, there's a big announcement before the final," I was like, "Oh, are they gonna say like maybe new org items are coming, or there's like a big game update coming?" And I'm like, "Oh sweet, that's gonna be so cool."
Whoa, just to update Chad, I don't know if you saw. They said that before the grand final, there was gonna be a really big announcement, like some, you know, like they're really excited to give this announcement to everyone. So that
I saw they were like hyping up something, but what was it? Because I think I saw the announcement, but like, there's no way all the hype was for that announcement, right?
No, Rizzo. Say word for word the announcement. The word for word, just say it. It was like, I don't really remember James Watt's quote, word for word, what he said.
Oh, I wasn't watching live when the announcement happened.
Oh, it was literally, he's like,
I don't know what he said.
He just said, 24 teams, win and move on. Lose twice and you're out. And that's it. That was the whole fucking announcement. And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, you're telling me you had to tweet, you had to tell the announcers to tell everyone this, you had to make this much hype just to let us know that there's less teams and that there's a different format. That's all. That's really what it was. It just seemed a little bit exaggerated, and it was a kind of a let. I feel like Sonic is really bad really good at letting people down. But you know, I mean, to each their own. Sonic probably could have came with a better idea for that, and maybe just announced it another time and given us something cooler to look forward to, especially at the end of a major. We don't want to just hear. We don't want to just hear. Bracket news, I think, at the end of a major, right? It's just like, it just seems unnecessary. Yeah. So,
like, I feel like we already knew, you know, that something like that was coming.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, but besides getting into the format, you know what this reminds me of? And I think you might
season
know.
Season one? Yeah. Chad knows.
Yep.
Season I was there, one. You know, I was around.
We had this crazy idea.
Oh my god! They were telling us like in person, like there's going to be a crazy announcement before. What was it? Before the event starts.
Before the event starts. Before the grand finals.
Crazy announcement. Something like that. I don't know exactly.
It was before the grand finals. Like, we have
every single one of the Psyonix employees were like hyping it up too.
Crazy
like,
too.
Because we got there. Crazy.
They're like, oh my fucking god! You don't know what you're getting into with this.
Show you guys this.
Holy fuck! We've been working on this for over 2 days. This is crazy. And that's it. They just start going nuts.
And then the announcement is the initial announcement of Rumble in Rocket League, which was like, it was like a trailer of a car driving, and then out of nowhere, it was big boot comes out. And that was the initial and everybody was just like, what just happened?
Everyone was, it was like a whole, like, I could hear the whole crowd just sigh together. Everyone was like, whoa, like, this is what they debated us with? Like, that's crazy. But
yeah, because the scene was super new too, so everybody was thinking like, oh, maybe like
prize pool is the big thing everyone was thinking. Yeah, everyone was like, pool. Oh, this is, they're gonna announce next season prize pool is gonna be two. Like twice as much or like and they're like Rumble.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad. That was a pretty bad bait. So I don't know. I mean, whatever. It happens sometimes. You get baited by Sonic. You know, good life.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Next thing, let's go into the... Okay, well, we were going to talk about the bracket reset thing, but I think that's kind of like everyone just saw that as part of the announcement. The new format is a bracket reset for the regionals. It's not single elim in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's so it's just double elim, right?
Yeah, that's exactly... That would be 24 teams... 12 will qualify through the open qual.
Yeah.
And then
just 10 qualify.
Literally just a double in bracket. And then if you come from losers, you have to bracket reset. And that's the format. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. The one thing that I want to get into that I think is a really good change is the grid change. You know, they said in the announcement that grid is now reduced It is 4 weeks, I believe, only 2 days, two of those days during each week. So I hope I worded that right.
It's still over 9 weeks. Over the course of 9 weeks.
Yeah.
But there's only 4 weeks where you're actually playing, and you only play two of those days every other week.
So it reduces the stream time for teams from like 8 hours to like 4 to 6 hours of stream, which I think is really good. I think it's very taxing, especially on like, I remember James went from RLCS, like OCE or something, or EU, straight into our grid. So he was casting for like 12 hours straight. Jeez. And just like had no break. So I think it's better. They probably knew it was a little bit too much. I even think a lot of the players, like, I don't know about you guys on G2, but I know, like, you know, Joshua was getting a little worn out of how many tournaments there were and stuff. And I was like,
yeah,
I was thinking,
was
like,
exhausting.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, damn, we have all these tournaments, right? And maybe Chad might know something on this. Like, I see CSGO is decked with tournaments. Like, they have tournaments like every other week, every other month, like lands,
it's
traveling
like every
all the time.
Day they're playing in something because they're always traveling, basically. Or
so,
well, I guess they were back then, but
yeah, that's why I was like, damn, like, are the Rocket League scene finally gets in tournaments and players already like can't handle it? I can't imagine CSGO. It's like best of fives. Each game is like 60 minutes, and it can be like, it can just be so insane how much you're playing, and I just must be like super burnout factor for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the grid change is good. 4 weeks, 2 days, less burnout for all the players. Makes it mean more, too, I feel like. No one really cared about grid toward the end. I don't know what you think, but yeah.
Yeah, the reason we cared is we just wanted the number one spot. But by the time that it ended up mattering for us, we had already qualified through the regionals for the major because there's 16 teams now. Like, it was important at the beginning because there was only like six teams going to the major.
Yeah.
But since COVID, they couldn't really do that, so they made us 16 teams, and then it was just like, oh, whatever. Well, we made it through both spots, so
yeah,
for us, it didn't really matter towards the end.
We just won. I mean, once we figured out we couldn't even get number one because you guys were already number one in grid points, so we were just like, oh, whatever. Like, it literally doesn't affect anything. I don't even think grid points factored in too much to the seeding, regardless, anyway.
They did, but it was super small. It's irrelevant for that. That's funny.
Yeah.
The other thing is for the grid, the first day specifically is nobody is eliminated and you're playing for essentially like 4 hours just to get seated for day two, which I want to know what you think about that because I hate it.
That makes it kind of weird. I mean, that makes it kind of weird for, well, one, that guarantees every team's stream is going to be going on for like 4 hours the first day.
Yeah, so it guarantees more stream time for each org because none will be eliminated on the first day.
Yeah.
So they all come back for day two.
I think that's what they were targeting with that.
Probably.
Low key, because that's the only reason I can imagine that change. But I think that's kind of weird. I think you kind of want, like, what that means, day two is probably going to be really long then, if it's just seeding day one. Because they're doing, what, 16-team bracket in one day? That's going to be like 6 hours. I mean, that's still a lot of time for both.
It's groups for day one. And then in day two, it just becomes one big bracket that's seeded from day one.
I don't know.
And that's single elim on the day two?
Yeah, single elim on day two.
How do you guys feel about that? Do you prefer like single elim tourney style? Or like, do you prefer groups? Or do you like double elim style?
I think I like double elim more.
I do too, but for this one, I think I prefer single elim because I wouldn't want to be there much longer.
Yeah. If it was a tournament that had a lot more meaning, you know, it would.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of just like your like season in a way, right?
Yes, sort of.
But the grid is like, the grid is not really like a part of anything. It's just kind of there. And like, you can qualify for the major.
Would it be comparable to like Midseason Mayhem or something?
No, it's just like a random tournament.
Okay, it's not that like unimportant.
No. It is there is like, it is important because you can qualify through the major for it, which I wonder if this winter major is going to be like, if it's 16 teams again, then I think the grid again is irrelevant. But if this actual next major is only six NA teams, then I think the grid is super important.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I feel like they should, I think they don't want the grid to be too important, so that's why I'm surprised they make it so long, because it seems like that, just because they have such little point scale for it, so it feels like they don't want to make it that important, but then they make it like a 8 to 10 hour, 2 day event, So it's kind of weird. But I know you get some. I know you get a decent amount of money for it. Like, isn't winning it like $3,000 a player? Winning each weekly grid, and it'll probably be double next split.
It was, how much was it for? It was 1500 if you in the 9 week one, the in the first split, it was 4500 for first place, so it's 1500 each. But in this one, I'm pretty sure you get 10k if you win.
Yeah, it'd have to be more. So now it's gonna be 3k, right? Each person.
Yeah, it'll be above 3k. If you're actually winning these, because there's less weeks or there's less actual tournaments, but there's just more money still. The same amount of money still there.
All right, that's interesting. I think now is a good time to transition to get like all this info transition over to our next topic, because I think all this kind of relates.
This one also, Chad can chime in a little bit more.
Yeah, Chad will go to chime in a lot for this one, because it's all about stuff back then compared to now.
Oh yeah.
So the next topic to cover is basically the growth of the Rocket League scene, how far we've come over these 5 years, from not even being an esport in season one, like it was pretty much a joke up until, nowadays we're pulling 200K plus viewers, prize pools going up. They're having different formats, circuit formats. Every team is having their own items now, and they're doing their own streams. I'm just saying, like, compared to before.
Oh, yeah.
Makes like, sense. And I'm not saying every team right now. Some teams, I guess, right now have it. But, compared to before where we were, that was the main thing I remember orgs were asking for from the beginning. And they didn't, they didn't bring it in until lately. So let's start from the beginning. Let's start with how all three of us came into the scene. And then we'll compare it to now. So you can go first. Actually, let's go first with Chad. Let's talk about how Chad got into the scene.
Oh, how I got into the scene. Okay. So when Rocket League launched, I hadn't played SARP or anything like that. I was completely unfamiliar with it. So when Rocket League came out, I was just streaming, doing my thing at the time. I was playing with popular streamer Summit 1G and our other buddy. And then we did like a little like streamer versus streamer, like 3v3 against like Lyric and his two boys. And I was already like pretty decent at the game, like compared to everyone else we were playing against. I was like picking up very quickly. I tend to pick up games somewhat quickly in general, but I was like, I felt like really good about it, and I was having a lot of fun like playing. It's just so much fun. So Kronovi, as many of you know him, was watching Summit at the time, and I knew about Kronovi because he was the first like Rocket League guy, you know what I mean? Like, he was the first guy like flying around like doing all the cool shit that everyone saw in Rocket League,
Yeah.
And so he was watching Summit, and I was just like, he was in the chat, and like someone said something. I was like, "Hey, yo, Kronovi, bro, hit me up in the DMs. I'm trying to be goated. I'm trying to be a god at Rocket League." And that's how I met Cameron. That's how we started playing together. And I just got involved in the scene that way, playing with Cam. And we made all our friends. That's kind of where it started for me, at least. Made all of our friends played in like the ESL tournaments and stuff. And yeah, that's how I got like into it at the beginning.
All right, nice, good to hear. I remember one time from Chad's early streams. I think Naveed Chad, he was in your stream for a giveaway, and he won the giveaway because I think he did.
No,
I don't know if you remember. You did like a car giveaway. I think it was a Dominus DLC, and you gave it away. Sure. And I think Naveed won it. And I was like a random thing that I remembered. It was just kind of funny.
Anyway. Oh, so that's crazy. He never like thanked me or anything.
No, that was really like season one, like before any of us even knew each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's go to Rizzo now. Rizzo, how'd you get into the scene?
I was introduced to the game just from my Minecraft friends, because they were like really egging me on to get the game. I was like, are there like dedicated servers?
And, I like how I you can't even say this without smiling and like laughing. Yeah, yeah, like, oh, my Minecraft friends.
Yeah, my Minecraft friends. But I mean, that's how I was introduced, and I'd like, it was basically like the last $20 of my PayPal, so I was always skeptical. I was like, should I get the game? I was like, I don't know, guys. Dedicated servers. So I finally bought it or whatever, and so I just kept playing. Literally like 14 hours a day, because I was just addicted to it.
Yeah.
Go to bed at 6 a.m., wake up at 4 p.m., run it back every single day.
Yes, sir.
That was basically my life for like the first month, and then slowly I like introduced myself, but I would like go to Twitch streams, and Lo-Fi was like the first one that I found. Or like that I actually watched, and oh, so yeah. He would always accuse me of stream sniping him, which at first I didn't, but then I started to.
It became the meme, you know?
Yeah, he's always stream sniping me, so I just play with him now. I was like, no, I'm not.
That's funny.
I usually was.
Lo-fi's a goat. That's funny.
Yeah. But then I started playing with him, and eventually he was just like, you want to play an RLCS? I was like, when it got announced, it was like a random thing. Oh, RLCS Season 1. And we're just like, oh, looks cool. You want to play in it? Or he's like, you want to play in it? I was like, sure. Let's grab Insolences. So then that's how
Jesus.
I was essentially introduced.
Okay. Okay, nice. The way... Everything I have with me, the way I actually bought the game, I didn't want to spend $20. I'm like, is this worth? Because I actually watched Summit stream. That was how I found out about the game. I remember my cousin who won a lot from CSGO betting. He had like just extra items and he sold them for Steam money. And I paid him 10 real life dollars to buy me, buy me Rocket League through Steam as a gift with the in-game gambling money. So that's how I got Rocket League. I didn't even want to buy it for $20. I got it for $10.
Half right. Well,
yeah, pretty good deal. So then I met Matt, who was my first teammate. Technically my first teammate was Edwin and Quinn Lobdell.
Really? Because, yeah, I didn't even know you're on that team too.
Yeah, because so
was
they
that
needed
Orange Creamsicle?
Yeah, that was an Orange Creamsicle.
Oh, looks like shit. Everybody was on that team.
Yeah. So they needed like a sub for a tournament, so they messaged me. They're like, "Hey, you want to play with us in this tournament?" And I think I just knew him from ranked. And then I played with them. We got like second or third place in the tournament, and then I got booted from the team. Yep.
Hey,
that
sounds familiar.
Yeah. So that was funny. And then I met Matt. Me and Matt are like the Touge duo. I think most people in NA kind of knew me and Matt as like being a ranked duo. Like we're basically like the Taroko and Grills of like 2015. And so we basically played together every single time. We joined Battlecar Galactica together. It was me, him, and like Timothy, I think. And then, you know, then we made Rogue, and you know, here we are today. We're all beautiful in the future. The only one not here is Matt. So even actually Matt and Insol both pieced it, you know, they're both Gonzo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Lo-Fi is still around a little bit. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much how we all got started in Rocket League. You know, Chad, how'd you become a pro in Rocket League? Let's talk about that.
Okay, like this term gets thrown around a lot. I don't know if I would ever really say I was a pro. People like to attach that label, but
you have the title,
I mean,
don't you?
Yeah, you got the title.
I do
bro.
Have RLCS Elite Season 2 title.
That's
yes,
true.
Sir.
That's it.
True.
If you got the
now,
title.
Did I see a second of field time? I mean, maybe not, but like I got the title. So, you know, you tell me, you know.
Okay.
I was there, you know, I was helping the team in any way I could. I tried to, I tried to support the boys, you know, it was a fun trip to like hang out with everybody again. Cause I wanted to go to the second RLCS, but it was cool to be, that the Take Three boys allowed me to be a part of it and like try to help them. And I think like looking back, I think I did some things that were probably helpful. And I tried to keep you guys like on task and like, you know, focused on the weekend, but I don't know. It might've just been more of like a friend hangout session, a real like, coaching substitute role.
Okay, wait, since we're on this topic, let's just go into it. Let's talk about the difference between coaching back then and coaching now. Because you were technically like the first coach. You know, I want to know, you know, what you did, and then I'll go ahead and give the differences, you know, what I did, what I do.
Okay, so yeah, as a coach, like, you know, there's like no coaches in Rocket League, right? It's unheard of essentially.
Yeah, at the time. It's
so I'm like, okay, how can I do my best? Like from, you know, experience. So I've played sports my whole life. I've been involved in like things in that are similar in the sense of like coaching. So it's like, okay, how can I use like my history, my knowledge, and my knowledge of like these guys, my teammates, my pals, to best like make this weekend easier for them. You know, best give them like the chance to succeed. So basically was kind of just like the bitch boy, like water boy, like role essentially. Not, I mean, literally, yeah, I would like go grab people drinks when they wanted, but I would like make sure, you know, we knew like what times we were playing, like where we needed to be, what we needed to do, like made sure everybody was like comfortable the entire week and make sure like Everybody was focused on what we had to do. And then we even broke down, like we broke down some replays together and would watch the games and kind of dissect and analyze what was going on and in what ways we thought we would have to alter the play style of the team against like certain opponents or like, you know, mistakes we would notice teams making over and over and over again and things like that. So we did have a few sessions where we like sat down and I tried to like lead the charge and like break these things down. And I mean, Rizzo, do you think like it was helpful at all or like?
I mean, I feel like it was helpful. I don't think in any way that it could have been negative. I mean, definitely like keeping a level head is like the number one thing. And if you don't have to worry about like a time or a schedule and like somebody handles that for you, it makes your life so much easier. In that sense.
Yeah, and that's like what I wanted to do. And I think a big thing was me working more directly with like Insol than you or Chris, you know. I think it was keeping Insol like on track and keeping him like, you know, not upset or, you know, keeping him focused and keeping him like confident in his play for the weekend. So yeah, I think that was like a big part of the role I had was just, you know, keeping Insol where he needed to be.
Yeah, don't let that dude tilt upside down.
Okay.
That's always a struggle.
I mean, honestly, everything pretty much sounds exactly the same. basically, we do the same thing. I pretty much just, when we're out of land, you know, obviously you make sure they got their drinks, their water, all that stuff. Every coach is a water boy at the end of the day. And then, you know, you make sure you take care of all the scrims, all that stuff. I think one of the biggest differences is now coaches are like always sitting and watching through every scrim, even online, like every single scrim, your coach is usually there. I feel like it's not necessarily like how much just like input we're giving. Like obviously we give a lot of input in between the games. You know, if we're playing a certain team, we try to talk about strategies like for that certain team, obviously the same thing. So, but I think the biggest difference is, you know, coaches, where was I going with this? Like, basically, coaches now, just being there in scrims, I feel like makes your team play more serious. I think back then, like, not having someone just, like, watching over you guys can just, like, troll and kind of get away with it. Like, I remember we used to do that a little bit until we got Fickle. And then Fickle would kind of just, you know, make sure that we're all, like, taking it seriously. We're all, like, focused on improving. Like, that should be the goal every time. Like, I feel like nowadays I reiterate that a lot, especially with my team, just, like, you know, you don't have to enjoy scrims, but just like make sure you're playing to improve in scrims, not to just like go out there and just have fun. And if you're not having fun in scrims, you can just troll. So
yeah, that's like, I think building off that too, especially with Rocket League and in general, like the scene is pretty young, right? So like having a coach in scrims, I think it is probably very, very important because there's this dynamic that can build when you are scrimming, where you know people get tilted, people get upset, people get frustrated, and playing on a team of three guys, it's really easy for those two guys to want to gang up on the one guy that's like either being negative or like not playing his best or whatever. It's really easy to sort of develop this like toxic environment. And I feel like that's probably why a lot of teams, it didn't last super long early on. I think having a coach there can help with that and kind of keep everyone level headed and keep egos down and, you know, stay focused and, you know, teamwork and all that shit.
Yeah.
All that good shit.
Yeah, like,
that
I
makes
know.
A lot of, you make a good point. That makes a lot of sense, Chad.
I was a coach, bro. I know.
He was
bro.
There. I got he knows the mental game,
Coach
bro.
Chad Goff, bro.
The infiltrator. My next role going forward in the scene, the infiltrator, of course. Coming soon.
The infiltrator.
Oh my god, the infiltrator, dude. That's infiltrator. Interesting. That's interesting, Chad. We'll talk about that one later. anyway, I think honestly it's a lot of the same comparisons for the most part. I think one thing that like you just talked about is like for Squishy always kind of blames himself, aside from like people gang up on one player will think that they're the fault for the team. Like Squishy does it a lot. He thinks he's playing poorly and he'll blame himself, especially because he's new to the team, so he just instantly assumes it's his fault. And like, you know, you got to keep reminding them like it's a team effort. And if that means if you're not feeling comfortable, it's probably because your teammates aren't doing a good job of helping you, you know, integrate with your play style. So it's at the end of the day, it's never just one player. I think that's a lot of players try to blame themselves or put the blame on them on one person. And it's usually never the case. But okay. What else should we go over, Rizzo? What do you want to talk about from the early growth of the scene compared to now?
the difference in becoming a pro today versus what it was 5 years ago?
Like, us from everything, like, both business-wise and career-wise compared to, you know, now, like, well, everything?
If you have more to say than I do, then feel free to add on, but...
No, yeah, you go first. You go first, and yeah. then
I'm sure you do have more to add on to this, but yeah. The way, like, I became a pro was legit low five asking, hey, do you want to play in this RLCS? And then we qualified, and then I was just on a team every season afterwards. Yeah. So that's how I've been in the scene the entire time. Now, if you try to do that, and you say, hey, you want to join RLCS, you try to make it through the open bracket, it's going to be an absolute sweat fest.
Yeah.
There's going to be 100 teams that are capable of making it through this 12 team. Like, 12 teams will make it through, and there's going to be, like, 100 that are, like, actually capable of doing so out of, like, I don't even know how many teams, probably 1,000 or something, probably go through it-ish. But the concept of finding a team is a lot harder than just, hey, you want to play in this. It's, like, people will look at your... First, you're like, you're ranked. If you're not like the highest rank or you're not on like the leaderboards, like they really care about that. And then like six mans as well. Six mans is like the most important thing when people are trying to find a team. And they like will just deny people spots if they're like a lower six mans rank than them.
Dude.
Like instantly. This is what Gyro had told. This is like probably a year ago or something. Like Gyro had told me this and First Killer had told me this. Actually, not even a year ago. Probably like 6 months or something. But they'll just, like, instantly deny you if you have, like, a lower six-mans rank. It's crazy.
Wow, okay. Six-mans. I remember me and Chad used to play some six-mans together back in the day.
Played some six-mans in my day? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Played some six-mans
in my day. Gotta stay fresh, you know?
Yeah, I mean, basically the same thing happened with me. I basically became pro because me, Matt, and A-Money... We're like, you know what?
Hey.
We're like, you know what? Let's team, guys. So
to the moon.
To the moon. We thought A-Money was goated because of, like, Crow. Like, we thought A-Money was, like, unreal because Kronovi played with him. So that was our mindset, like, because, you know, we're Kronovi fanboys. And, you know, we played Season 1, me, Matt, A-Money. And it was literally just a matter of, like, hey, guys. And it was sweaty, though, the open qualifier. We went through the open qualifier three times to make it, and I mean, we made it every time. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, season one, there was two quarters.
The early seasons, you had to keep going through the open qual.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So season one, both quarters, we made it. And then, you know, season two, I had school, so I subbed for one season. I came back to play again season three. And it was literally just like, you know, every time you have to go through the open qualifier, and the open qualifier is deadly. And now it's like... Back then, it was easy because you were just better than everyone. Everyone else was trash. Nowadays, everyone's good. So, like, it's so much harder to beat people. And it's all about playing on the day, playing your best on the day. And it's Rocket League so much like that, where one team can just pop the fuck off one certain day, and the next day they'll be trash. Like, it really is just like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, aside from just, like, qualifying for being a pro, like, back then, we got $600 on Selfless, $600 a month. And we were we're rolling in the dough. Like, we were lit.
Yeah, that was the highest salary at the time, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, 600 was the highest under Selfless. And then Flipside got 1.5, and they topped everyone.
Oh, that reminds me of, like, another part of when I was coaching, when I was working with the team.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I was fucking talking to orgs, bro. I was talking to every org I could.
He was on the line. Forward business it.
Hey, bro, are you trying to spot? You trying to pay us? Not, bro. Pick up the other one. Hello, you paying us? Not. Just all day, bro. That's all it did.
No, you don't have money or a hang-up on it.
Well, like, I was trying to get these orgs, like, invested in Rocket League. So I was, like, pitching Rocket League as an esport to these orgs, as well as, like, trying to pitch the team.
Yeah,
because there was like nobody. There was like nobody in Rocket League.
Then. No one. Yeah.
It was, you know, brand power, new,
and that's it.
I think another thing about like becoming a pro in the early days, which I think this is a trend with like any game that turns into an esport, and the only difference here is like there wasn't really a game before Rocket League other than SARP, but that's like very niche. So there's a handful of people that had some experience that could carry over from SARP to Rocket League.
Yeah.
But this trend in like any esport you see is like the first season and the first couple seasons, you have the people that got the best, the fastest, or I think even more so nowadays when it comes to esports is like you get the big streamers on the teams in the first season, right? Because that's where the orgs like see their return, right? That's where they have the potential to make the most money. I think in Rocket League, like back in the day, there wasn't like too many huge streamers, right? It wasn't like crazy big in that sense. So you kind of just had like whoever was like on a team, whoever like was like, all right, I want two teammates, like picked your teammates and like entered the tournament and was the best at the time. Like they made it, right? They made it. But then going forward, you kind of had this weird ecosystem, which I think is prevalent in most esports, that all the teams at that top, that like quote unquote top level. And you got to think like the game's still very new. So like the skill ceiling could be here, but like players have only reached this far, right? And so there's this thing that happens the like after the first season where there's sort of a shuffle of rosters. You don't seem to see like too many people coming up. It feels like the pro scene is almost like gatekept. And yeah. I think that it's super prevalent in like every esport. Yeah. And that never really works itself out until like, I think what maybe, I mean, you guys would know better because I stepped out of the scene, but maybe like fifth season.
Yeah, probably like RLCS 6, I'm thinking, when like LRS became a thing. Like even then, like top rosters, like RLCS rosters wouldn't really just switch and grab an RLRS player. Like Justin was probably like the only exception
really
to
rare.
That.
Yeah, really rare.
Yeah, and they would only just swap RLCS players just consistently. And then like occasionally, a lower tier team would grab an RLRS player, and if he did really good, then another team would just snipe him.
Yeah, it's so rare for a player just to like you know, let's compare it to like basketball, for example, since I know Chad knows basketball, so does Rizzo. Like for example, like there's not really players like, I feel like Justin would be compared to like LeBron, like coming out of high school or like, you know, high in Justin's case, RLRS, literally immediately into the big leagues, right? And just like dominating, like absolutely dominating. Like Justin literally came in and was immediately considered like top three best players in NA. After he joined in NRG, and it's like, you know, that hasn't happened. I don't even think in EU that's happened. Like maybe the closest would be like what, Alpha or something, or like who's the recent?
Wouldn't Astral be one?
Astral? Yeah, Astral. Astral's the other one. But yeah, so like that doesn't really happen too often in Rocket League. So.
I mean, you got Scrub Killer too. He's kind of like the LeBron. He was literally too young to play in the league, and then he hit the age, and teams were like on him instantly, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Justin kind of hit all at the same time. Like, he became of age, like, the moment he kind of, like, got really good. So it was, like, perfect timing. Scrub also just came out of nowhere, won Worlds for the first time. Well, he kind of was always in the scene, but no one really liked
him. Right, he was in the scene, but he's too young.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, It's pretty crazy about like the gatekeep what you're talking about, because it does happen in every esport. Even Valorant,
that's a real thing. Happens in every esport. Yeah.
Yeah. Even Valorant, it's happening. Even right now.
It was like, just I think Rocket League developed more organically at the beginning because like SARP was so niche and there wasn't people that were automatically better, right? Whereas like you have FPS games, you have FPS pros that'll just like swap over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's similar skill sets involved, so it's like.
Yeah, there's not too many games similar to this. How like it's just.
I mean,
a
what would you
genre.
Say about like becoming a pro nowadays? Like you have to grind the fuck out of ranked, like try to crazy, get into six mans once like people recognize you from ranked.
Yeah, is that exactly.
You gotta go crazy.
You don't even need people to recognize you from ranked. You could just grind six man. Like
Like how do you get in? How would you even get it? Like say I'm a player like coming into Rocket League, right? And I'm like pretty good, and I want to take it to the next level, right? Like I do okay in ranked. I do pretty good, pretty high ranked, like top ranked maybe. But like, how do I even get in contact with these people? Like, how do I get involved in six mans? How do I find the right like players that will actually make me better? The right six mans, the right lobbies.
You basically
you know?
Like, you play rank until you're like a high enough MMR, and then you would just rank check because it just takes your ranked MMR. So you just rank check into like the higher rank, so like rank B or B plus. I don't even know which one you can rank check in.
Yeah,
but you can't rank check into like the very very high level ones. Like you can't do that. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. So you rank check into like B or B plus, and then you have to make it through B plus, and then rank A, and then rank X, and then rank S, and then
so it's
like
kind of like it's kind of like grinding like ESEA or something for like an FPS game. Okay,
exactly. Yeah. But then I guess you would just meet people through the Discord and the six man Discord. And you just find people you're like playing with or whatever, and then maybe add them or something. Like I don't even know how that process. Like
make friends, that's the only way I could imagine.
You have to make friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Through six mans, which is probably the hardest part because everybody's always tilted in there anyway. So
I also was thinking about this too. Like you know how Rocket League went free to play. I'm imagining now probably in like what 2 to 3 years we're gonna be seeing a lot of new pros, like really good pros.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would take at least like 2,000 to 3,000 hours, like maybe 3,000 hours minimum to even like contest the current pros, because it's just like you need to catch up so much. But like now, I feel like if you start if you start a game at its right at the beginning, if you try to start Rocket League now without knowing any mechanics, like how it was originally, it would do the same thing, right? It would take a couple years to understand, you know, flip resets, all that stuff. But now a new player coming in immediately, they have access to all the info. They know, but they'll know about flip resets, flip cancels.
Oh yeah,
you know, wave dashes, everything.
All the research they need, like they can find anything they need to know. Whereas like when we were playing, dude, like I remember Sad Jr. would like pop into the team so we could be like, "Hey, bro, I just discovered a new mechanic," and then like, like you know, like we were literally discovering ways we could abuse the mechanics back then. And now, like, you have all the training packs, not even, like, just the Rocket League ones. Like, there's a bunch of custom stuff, too. Like, it's so easy. There's so many resources now to, like, improve if you're just starting out.
Yeah, big time. I think players would get faster a lot quicker now than before.
And I was, so I've been streaming a lot since Free-to-Play came out. And there's people that are just like, "Hey, I'm gold. Like, I've been practicing flip resets, but I can't get it." And, like, I know these people are, like, new to the game. Like, I'm silver, I'm gold, I can't, I'm trying to flip reset. I'm just like, dude, you don't even know how to hit the ball properly. Why are you trying to do a flip reset?
Yeah.
And like that, that's what people are trying to learn first, which like, I mean,
it's that's whatever. Crazy. I mean, don't, like,
if they're trying to learn that in like their 80th hour of the game, they're going to be insane.
Yeah. I, like back then it took me like a, like a, like 100 hours to get my first aerial. And I was like, let's go. Like, I just wanted to like learn the ground. I was like a 1v1er in season one. I got my plat crown to prove it. You know, I just sat on the floor and I 1v1'd. That's it. So aerials are a different ball game. So I never really got into that until I was like a couple hours in, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see in a couple of years all these new free-to-play players like EST 2020 and see them in RLCS. So I guess we'll see what that looks like in the future. That'll be fun.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it, man. Especially like think about the young kid. I mean, I don't know how much higher you can go with the skill ceiling as far as like mechanical play in the game. But like you know, some of these young like Fortnite gamer boys are gonna be like disgustingly just insane mechanically, like on the controller.
Even in a year, like those people, like they might
even in like a year or two,
they might not even go into like pro play or like very competitive. They're just going to freestyling or something like that. And like they could just make a bunch of new stuff, or you're gonna see a bunch of new freestyling things. It's gonna be crazy.
Okay. You want a next topic? You want? Let's. I think I want to talk about one more thing, and then we'll go to the next topic really quick, just to cover it.
Yeah, sure.
Is the viewership? We talked about it a little bit, but I don't think we really compared the viewership from then to now. So you, there's some stats written here from Rizzo about 2016. Our viewership was 10 to 30k. Was this LAN?
Or was this? This is like online. So just basically throughout the season, RLCS season one averaged like. I mean, sometimes it was even at like 5k, but it was like 10 to 30,000 viewers in Rocket League, just like on the online events or how did they even do that season?
The league play, right?
It was just the league play. That's what it was.
It was five games, or five games per team, five play each
other. They made you play five games.
Yeah, set of five, not best.
Not
of
even
five.
A series.
Yeah, it was like Rocket Royale, RLCS. But yeah, so 80k viewers season one LAN. Now we're hitting 225k for the major. Online,
The season one LAN peaked at 80k.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. I can't imagine how crazy it's gonna be when we have a LAN. You know, the viewership's gonna be. I'm gonna say at least like what 400-500k. I feel like it could be like.
I would say 500,000. It'd probably be pretty close to that.
Yeah, I think we could hit it. Especially with how long it's gonna be since to our first LAN, because you know we haven't. It's gonna be a year from the previous LAN to the next LAN. That's how long it is from the first from the most recent LAN we've had, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think
so,
about that.
1 year to the first LAN of Rocket League since COVID, and you know that's gonna be absolutely psychotic. And I don't know. Do we know where it is? We do know where it is, right?
What the is there like a major or something? Is that what you're saying?
No, like the event we have. Like okay, they didn't like confirm the LAN, right, when they announced it, but they basically gave a date for the LAN, and like I don't think they gave a location though, right? That's what I'm
I don't even know if we know it's a LAN though.
I think we do know it's a LAN. I think they had planned it as a LAN, and they're just like,
that wouldn't surprise me. Because I really wouldn't surprise me.
That's just some stuff I remember. I don't know if I'm remembering wrong, but I thought it was like you know, there's a LAN that's going to be there at the end of the year. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Wait, is the split even done by the...
It's going to be like the middle. It's going to be in the middle of next year. Are you talking about winter split?
I'm talking about, yeah, winter split. Does winter split end this year?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
So there probably won't be anything this year then?
Yes.
If there is anything, I don't even know.
Yes, I just worded like an idiot.
gotcha.
But yeah, it's going to be like, the main thing I was trying to get at is it's going to be like almost a full year until our next LAN, which is going to be nuts. That's just like, it's just like weird.
There's going to be a lot of hype for it is the main thing, because it has been a while.
Now, do you think that will actually affect the online viewership for it though?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll get a lot more viewers.
I think everybody would be super interested in seeing how teams fare in like a LAN environment. And nobody's also nobody's seen how the major works in that sort of environment.
I keep forgetting it's just my free to play. So you guys have a huge new audience probably coming into Rocket League.
Yeah.
And they've never seen a Rocket League LAN. Like a Rocket League LANs are hype. Like they're crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, Rocket League LANs are crazy, man.
Yeah.
They just had new drops added for this. I mean, that's probably why we had a big peak in viewership as well. The free to play, and they announced new drops and it brought old viewers back, and then new people are like, oh my god, drops.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
dude, definitely free to play. It's like a second launch. I think one of the reasons season one did so well, like out of the gate, was, I mean, Rocket League was a great game. Everybody loved it when it came out. It was super popular. Everybody played it. But like everyone was amazed by just like being able to fly. And so like RLCS, everyone could fly around, you know what I'm saying? And that like blew people's minds. So I think there's like so much hype behind season one. That's why it like started off really strong. And you might see like a little bit of like a second coming of this with the free to play announcement and this like huge time period without a LAN and like all these sort of like, you know, new people coming to the scene are now huge fans of this player and you know, whatever it is, they're going to be like really, really want to see how their boy does at LAN, like in real life in front of people, you know, under the pressure. I think, that'll definitely be pretty insane for you guys.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see, you know, we're probably going to get like stadiums or some nutty event. I imagine for the first coming LAN, and it'll probably be, you know, I hope it'll be in the US because I think that'll be a better idea for the first LAN. Just because it'll get more people there, especially with free to play.
Well, yeah, keep in mind if it is a LAN right now with COVID and everything, people can't really leave the US.
I know. Well,
nobody allows them in. So
I'm saying all this assuming COVID's gone, like assuming it's fixed. This is, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I'm assuming everything here, right? So this is, you know, this is after we're done with all this. If we're done with all this, you know, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's go into the next subject because I think we're kind of how far are we into the timer, do you know?
52 minutes.
Okay, so yeah,
that's how long you've been live at least.
Yeah, okay, so let's head to the next topic. You want to go
we kind of went over this one, did we?
A little bit, not like we did the first part with Chad. Basically, we'll glance over it. Basically, we're gonna talk about Sathy's retirement a little bit. You know, he started in 2016, playing pro play, ended in 2020, retired onto Sonics. So I kind of wanted to bring this up because, you know, it kind of relates to life after pro play. You know, I have some experience in that. Chad does. Rizzo probably will soon, considering he hates the game.
All right, dude.
Anyway, we all hate the game. So I have retired. Chad has retired. Rizzo, you know, he's going strong. He's carrying our light with him.
Legacy.
And you know, basically, we're gonna talk about life after pro play. But I just kind of didn't want to go over this too much. But basically, like, I kind of just want to talk about how it, you know, how it is between coaching now and pro play then. You know, if it feels that competitive itch, that was something I mainly want to talk about. And basically, to go over this, I feel like, you know, it scratches the surface with coaching for the competitive itch. I think nothing will ever replace how nutty it is to play at a LAN. Like, there's no better feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Than like, you know, playing versus something important. Because I think when you're playing competitive, it's just like you want to just destroy the other team. Like, there's no better feeling. It's like, especially because you know you've been grinding nonstop to win, and like you want to see that work pay off. So. I think that still kind of fills that gap with coaching. We coach NRG whenever they win, it's just straight good vibes. Like, it feels really good to win, especially when we win Worlds. That was a good example. Like, you know, it felt like you're part of the team still. Like, it doesn't really,
yeah.
You know, it's not like you're just sitting there AFK. Like, you're actually with the team. You're on the stage. You're coaching. So, It's a good feeling, but you know, that was supposed to come up before the Chad and his coaching thing, so I can introduce that. But you know, we don't really have to anymore, as we talked about that earlier. You know, Chad, if you have any take on this, you know, after
That's an interesting thing you say, because I would say like that's a good like sort of comparison. Like when I was coaching, it's like you coaching now. I don't think, I mean, in general, Rocket League coaching was like unheard of, right? Like those, that was the beginning of it. And I don't think like we were as integrated into the, like I was as integrated into the team. And like, I don't know if this is just like a me thing. So maybe you could shine some light on this, but I felt like I was doing like whatever I could to help everybody out. But at no point did I feel like I was the one winning or like I was like accomplishing anything really. You know, all I could do was like kind of support my boys and like, you know, to do things to make it easier for them. But I never really like I don't think I'm a season two elite. Like I'm not like, oh, I got fourth place at Rocket League World Championship. Hey. You know, like I don't feel like I really did anything. I'm never going to like, you know, have a chip on my shoulder about it.
Yeah. Personally, I feel like when we win Worlds, I didn't feel like, you know, like I got the trophy. That was why one thing I didn't want to go and hold the trophy, because that's a team's trophy. Like, you know, they've been grinding their ass off and they won the trophy. So I sat on the side. I watched them raise it and I was like clapping. You know, it was just good vibe. I was happy they won. I didn't feel like, you know, I like earned the trophy or anything. It's different. I still feel, you know, I'll go and I'll say I'm a world champion just for fun. But like, you know, I'm not on the field playing and, you know, getting that trophy. It's a big difference, you know, the nerd.
No, yeah, and I think you have like every right to too, like even if you want to go get the trophy, because I think coaching in general has become more of an integral part of a team now. And I feel like now, like as a coach, like even if I were to coach like right now, I feel like now I would feel like I'm actually doing something, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm actually like contributing to the team or the dynamic, you know?
Yeah, I still felt like I contributed to the win, only because afterwards like Garrett and Justin came to me and were like, I don't think we would have won the LAN without you there, like, you know, coaching us. That was when they told me that, I was like, okay, like actually, it was like straight good vibe. I felt like, you know, I accomplished something with them. Like, you know, my work there,
all your hard
helped.
Work paid off, you know.
Exactly. So that felt really good. But you know, even then I still wouldn't go hold the trophy, because it's different. Then I'm thinking in my head, like, this is a game 7 Worlds overtime. I could not be in this position. I wouldn't want to be, because it's like the amount of fucking pressure. I could feel like my muscles twitching because I'm watching them play and it's like so nerve-wracking. I can't imagine sitting there in a game 7 grand finals on a LAN, hundred thousands of viewers at home, sitting there and trying to score one golden goal to win all of the finals and take home the prize. Like that, the amount of fucking pressure is ridiculous, and people don't get that. Like how much pressure is on stage for the players. I couldn't do that. There's no way.
See, I think everyone handles pressure differently, right? And like you're saying, you can't do that. Like that's the fucking shit I eat up, bro. I love the pressure. I love being squeezed into a situation I gotta fight out of, bro. I thrive off of it.
I will say it definitely would be an awesome situation to be in, but like I couldn't picture myself not being nervous. Like there's no way.
For sure.
Yeah, no matter how hard it would make me want to win more.
Person who's not nervous in that situation.
I wouldn't want to win more in my life, right? I would never try harder, but I would be so fucking nervous. It would be insane. Like you all the pressure's on to not make one mistake. It's crazy.
We're not like talking about dealing with pressure necessarily, but I feel like if I'm ever in like a situation or have been in a situation like that, I definitely like, and I know I feel nervous, but once like shit gets rolling, like I am so locked in that it doesn't even like, I don't even notice, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I get
like
locked in.
Hyper-focused. Yeah,
exactly. You get hyper-focused, but I notice my heart starts beating and can feel it, but it's like, I just ignore it because I'm just like so fucking focused.
Bro,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're just so focused on trying to win. But yeah, I mean, we could, I just wanted to, again, glance over that talk. We kind of strayed off of it anyway and kind of led into the next thing with LANs. So, you know, let's just, you want to go over this, Riz, the LANs, or you want to go into the Twitch streaming?
I think we could go into the Twitch streaming, to be honest. I think it would be probably better.
Yeah, okay. I think we kind of covered the LANs too, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is good for Chad to be here. So early Twitch streaming. Chad probably has some of the most experience in this. Chad and Rizzo, very early streamers. You know, you guys probably would have more insight into this than I would. So let's talk about, you know, Twitch back then, or Justin TV or Oddshot, you know, whatever it was back then. You know, talk about it. Talk, and then we'll go into DMCAs nowadays, and we'll you know, get into that and how it's affecting the current Twitch life.
If you want to start?
I think you should start, because I don't think I have much about, like, early, very early. I think that's, mean, like, you.
The big hoss is then and now. I mean, back in the day, man. I mean, okay, so in general, like, back in the day, Twitch, like, 2012, 2013... it was a very, very different animal. It was nowhere near the size it was now. This was before it was owned by Amazon. This was before, you know, the Fortnite boom and all these other, like, huge things that brought a lot of mainstream attention to Twitch. It was a very niche thing, you know. Not anybody was just, like, streaming games, you know. It was the pretty, like, the guys that were, like, pretty into gaming. And, like, everyone streamed because they wanted to share their gameplay, like, with their homies or, like, you know, other people. Nowadays, Twitch is definitely a different animal. But back then, everyone that streamed was doing it because they were very, very passionate about what they were doing, and they really enjoyed it. The money wasn't there back then. People weren't making a lot of money on Twitch. The biggest streamers, like, back in, like, 2012, I think Summit had, like, 500 viewers, and he was, like, one of the top dogs, you know, along with, like, Soda Poppin. That's crazy. A couple other, like, OG weird, guys. Bro. And that was nuts. That was, we were like, holy shit, Jared has 500 viewers. Oh my fucking God. You know, nowadays it's like, you get memed if you have less than 500 viewers. You're a nobody, bro. Chat will rip you to pieces, bro. It's fucking savage.
Man. It's crazy. It's
savage.
Dude, it's that insane. Makes me think of, like, I'm like 12 minutes into my stream or something, and there's like Lil W only 40 viewers or something. I'm like, come on, man. Yeah. I just started.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it was really cool. It was really cool because the interactions you get now, Twitch is so huge. Like, there's a million people. Everyone's got their anonymous account. Back then, it was more about, like, finding a community and, like, connecting with people. And I think Twitch is still about that to some degree, and streaming is, but it's not the main focus anymore. And that's, like, that's why you got these, like, incredibly strong communities. And these guys, like, some of them are still around from back then, because that's what it was. Like, you were just connecting and hanging out with people for fun. And everybody in chat, you know, they were just like, kick W and meme this, meme that. Like, everyone was a real-ass person with something to say. And, like, that was like, it was a whole new world, bro. There was never anything like that, I feel like.
You're about to make me cry right now.
I mean, that seems like crazy, such a good, man, community, dude, to have. Honestly, that must have been, like, the prime of Twitch, like, not having such age chats and just, like, everyone kind of hanging out.
So. It was crazy. It was
how
amazing.
How was your streaming back then, Chad?
Like, in what sense?
Well, just, you streamed back then, right? 2012 or 2013?
Yeah, like 2013. I think the beginning of 2013. It was like holiday 2012, I think, I built my rig. Because I played games. I played fucking games forever. Me and my brother played all sorts of consoles growing up. And then we played on our family computer. So I was playing on this, like, dog shit integrated graphics, like, home PC, you know. And so, like, when I finally, like, I was watching Twitch back then. Like, this was earlier, like, when Twitch first popped up. And I was like, I think I was watching Summit, and I was like, streaming's fucking awesome. I want to do this. And I built my shit and just went crazy. I think I started with Daisy Mod, the Arma 2 Daisy Mod.
Oh, my God.
And Counter-Strike were like two of my early stream games, because I played Counter-Strike. I played, like, Counter-Strike and Source and Gary's Mod and, like, a lot of Steam, like, Valve games and stuff like that. That was, like, my shit growing up. So when I was finally able to, like, stream it, man, it was amazing. You could actually stream back then and, like, not have zero viewers, being a nobody. You know what I mean? Like, having no established, like, following or anything, you could turn on your stream and, like, people would actually find your channel. You wouldn't be sitting at zero viewers forever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, oh, yeah, there's so much, like,
bro, it's, I a sea. It's a sea. Go to the top of Twitch, browse, sort
just
by.
Just go to,
yeah,
Fortnite.
Dude,
just,
yeah,
go to Fortnite.
It's insane.
Actually,
it's,
yeah,
insane.
Sort by lowest viewership and just look at all the zero viewer streamers. It's, like, crazy. That is. You're competing with those other zero viewer streamers as well. You're not even competing with the guys who have 20K.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was so new, too, that you could, like, put Twitch in your name and, like, literally spam everyone on your Steam friends. Because, like, I feel like friends lists back then were a lot, like,
closer.
They were actually your friends. Like, everyone on your friends list, like, you talked to, and, like, everyone was, like, cool. Nowadays, like, I have a bunch of people added who I haven't talked to in, like, years, bro. Same. Like, random That's... people I add to, like, one game because they're a friend of a friend. Like, but we used to just go down our Steam friends list, and, like, I had a Steam group. I would, like, post in the group when I went live. I would go down, change my name to twitch.tv/ChadPlaysGames, and I would fucking run that shit. Everyone on my friends got a message like, hey, guys, I'm live. If you want to come hang out, I'd really appreciate it. And I'd just spam that shit to everybody I knew.
Oh, yeah. That's you'd get fucking blocked awesome. Today doing that. Oh, yeah.
You would get instant blocked. Oh, yeah. That's fucking sick. Oh, yeah.
Things
sick,
have changed, man. But, I mean, that's kind of how we got it going back then. And it was just, it wasn't super, super hard to get discovered. Twitch was just different. It was different.
I mean,
that's crazy.
I think I started at like 30 viewers. Not like started, but within like a couple months, I averaged like 30, 40 viewers.
Well, that's a lot.
If anybody did that now in a couple months, that's like the dream. People would need to build.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something really quick, Rizzo, because I just thought it was funny. The Twitch chats, you know, back then probably are so like calm, right? And then, you know, I saw you laughing earlier because there was a message in chat about how your chat is literally just farts for like the entire day.
Just people talking about farts and fart jokes. Rizzo looks so sad knowing his whole chat is just laughing at farts.
Yeah, so this is what Twitch has come down to. You know, back then, chat has a community of his homies from Steam, and nowadays, absolutely random people in every parts of the globe just talking about farts in Rizzo's chat. So,
bro, he does it to himself. That he donate bits and it farts on stream.
Yeah, he does.
I can't get rid of it. They laugh every time. It's the money maker.
You kind of deserve it.
I do deserve it, dude.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of it because they'll lose it. They'll lose their minds if I get rid of it.
Okay. You could go now. I just wanted to talk about that.
Bro, that shit's
real quick.
Actually hilarious, though.
I've trapped myself into it. That's the worst part.
It's so funny. I laugh at those a lot. It's actually mad funny.
The awkward fart is my favorite.
There's some good timings on some of them.
Yeah,
like some real serious, like Athena will ask you a real serious question. I think it happened yesterday. And then there was like a fart noise and you were just like... It was so funny.
Classic. Oh,
that's good.
I streamed in like 2013 probably around the same time you did, Chad, but I was strictly in the Minecraft section.
Oh yeah,
I was locked in there, so I didn't know anybody on Twitch. So when you say Summit had 500 viewers, like, that blows my mind, because I know a few streamers back then who would go from YouTube and like plug their Twitch, and everybody would be like, Twitch, like, I'm not going to Twitch or whatever. But when I like finally got on the site or whatever, and I saw some of these people, I think like Gassy Mexican was probably one of the
ones
that I knew of, where he had like or like the creatures, the creatures went to Twitch kind of early, and I think those were the only other people I knew. But in the Minecraft section, like, I remember being like not the top streamer, because there was always somebody surpassed me, but like top five with like 80 viewers or something like that. And thinking about like back then how that was, and like being like, I don't know, if I just imagine doing it for 8 years straight, I'd probably be dead mentally, at least. But if I just did that for 8 years straight, I'd probably be like, I'd be Dream or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably not.
But like,
it's hard to look at it like that, though, because no, like, you weren't making money back then. Even like the top streamers were not making a living. Like, they worked jobs and then streamed on the side. So, I mean, a lot of those hours could be seen as like wasted almost. You know what I mean? Like, the concentration of like value for your time, as far as like, you know, financial, if we're talking about that, it's like, for you, it'd be definitely like later on. Like, you wouldn't have been like streaming Minecraft like forever and like really doing anything with it, you know? And Twitch, like, it didn't see like a huge jump in as far as viewership and community numbers either until, I don't even know. It steadily kind of growed, I think, throughout like the CSGO era.
Yeah, and then like, I mean, the Fortnite wave.
And then
like,
yeah,
obvious
the Fortnite boom.
Fortnite
like,
wave was huge. It was huge.
That changed the game forever, man.
Yeah,
that right
for
there.
All of Twitch.
That was the nail in the coffin.
What was
for
that
all
like?
Twitch,
2017
sure.
or 18?
2018, right?
Has it been, it's been 3 years? No way, it's been 3 years.
2017?
Fortnite release date was July 2017.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It feels
Well, I guess it didn't boom right off the bat, but it took a couple months. But still,
well, yeah, no, it came out. I remember because Josh did a fucking sponsored stream and we played the Save the World, like, zombie defense game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were like, oh, this is, you know, this is cool. We, like, did the hour of sponsored content or whatever and, like, got off. And then, like a month or two later, like, BR. And that just, it was over, dude.
Honestly, the game was pretty fun when it first came out. I discovered it from Stormin, who played H1Z1. He was doing
like your old rogue buddy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So he was playing it, and I hopped. This is like literally there was like 1K people on the whole game, and I was like, this game is. I thought the game was like actually fun, and then like literally I fucking blink, and like 5 days later, it's like number one on Twitch, and I'm just like, yeah.
I watched Tim play it, or Tim and Sacriel, I think his name. Those are the first two people I watched play it. I just randomly saw Tim on it. And I was like, what's this? And then he got sniped in the head and it was hilarious. But like, those are the first two I saw playing it. And they had like 20K. Sakura probably had like 10K. Yeah. But just seeing it like that. And then I don't know. I guess the whole ninja thing probably. I mean, that was mainly it, I guess.
The ninja thing, the Drake thing was massive. That was actually like,
yeah,
that was like a legendary moment in Twitch history. So. Don't know how we got Drake on here.
Aren't they like not even homies anymore? Wasn't Ninja like, hey, bro, yeah. Drake was just using me, bro?
Yeah, Ninja said Drake was using me, bro. Oh, I'm Ninja and Drake hates me. That's crazy.
I mean, that's kind of like crazy. Drake kind of like does that to get in like niche areas.
I mean, to be fair, there's no fucking way you can ever say that you got used by Drake.
That shit set off Fortnite and Twitch and Ninja so hard. That shit set it off, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you got Travis Scott asking for Band-Aids, like.
You got Travi Patties, dude. You got everything's just going loose now, dude. Okay. This is going crazy. Let's talk about since we're on Travis Scott, let's talk about DMCA's, okay?
Good segue.
They have been more prevalent as of late, and you know, I think you've both received emails as well about, you know, not needing to remove all content before a certain date. And, you know, you can't play music because we're Twitch. So, you know, to summarize, if you guys don't know what's going on, music has to be basically royalty free to be played on Twitch. Otherwise, you'll get hit with a strike. And, you know, that means you can't play all your favorites. You can't play, you know, you can't play Travis, you know, Cole, whether you listen to, you know, weird country music or something. You can't play, you know, the usual. Anyway. I find that I discover a lot of music from streamers, you know? So I'm shocked every time this happens about DMCA and how they haven't, you know, figured out a way to get through it. But it is so weird to me that they are trying to remove their music from the platform and not let people listen to it because they want to get paid a little bit more instead of including all the exposure they're getting from the streams. That's why it's weird to me, you know? And I'm pretty sure you guys might feel the same. So I just kind of want to hear what you guys think of the DMCAs. You know, if you have some crazy solution thought up in your head somehow to fix it or not. But,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, the artists or the labels do own this content, right? And so, like, they're in charge of like who can and cannot use it. And it's hard to really argue the exposure thing because while I agree it's real and true and like very successful for like some artists, I think it's hard to argue when you have, I mean, how many hundreds of thousands, millions, maybe streamers on the platform. Like, bro, Drake doesn't need you to like get the free promotion to your two viewers, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, so
that's fair.
I agree, like the laws and everything happening, the people behind it, the fucking suits at RIAA and shit are behind the times for sure. And it almost feels like more of like just a fuck you move, because while most of these streams like that people might find artists through or whatever aren't really going to generate a ton of revenue, you have your outliers, your big dogs that will realistically turn a lot of people on to certain artists and like actually help like promote them. It's like, I feel like they would rather, instead of finding a system or just like allowing people to use their shit, or finding like that balance of like, where is it like worth it to like, how do we figure out how to allow who could like listen to music and stream it and who can't, you know what I mean? That seems like way too much fucking work for them to actually develop and build a system. So these motherfuckers are like, well, I mean, we can't get the money, so just pull the plug, like, because we don't want them getting any money potentially from our work. So like,
yeah,
fuck you guys. You know, they're realistically probably going to lose money doing it, and like cracking down like this, they're not really, because they're not losing money. The whole thing is, they're yeah, like, oh, we're losing money, because they're not really losing money, dude. No one's opening a stream to like, I'm not opening Rizzo's stream to hear him listen to fucking Drake songs all day. Like, this is only yeah, time I can and listen to Drake is because sound. Rizzo's playing it, dude. I'm going to like, dude, I'll like, you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah, kind of bullshit. But at the same time, like, these are artists and these are people that worked really hard to create their thing. And like, while it sucks that they probably don't own it all and they're part of that whole like music industry machine, you know, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
But like, at the end of the day, someone owns this and they have the, you know, like, you wouldn't want someone using something you made like willy nilly for their own personal gain necessarily. Right. It's like, yeah, but I don't think the impact they think it has is as substantial. You know what I mean? I don't think it's truly that great that they're losing money, like, and pulling music in general, like cracking down on this really hard. I don't think it'll be good for them, but I definitely think it's a big, like, fuck you. Like, you're, if we're not going to make the money, you're not going to make money. It's just a
bad look.
You know what I mean?
It's just a bad look, yeah.
But it doesn't matter for them, dude, because it's not the artists. You know that. Like, most of the artists, probably, if they had any say in it, they don't give a fuck. Like, at the end of the day, like, they probably would let everybody listen to their music and love that people want to use their music and share their music. I don't know, dude. It's complex, you know? It's yeah, complex, but
it's
definitely, it's definitely a lot. That's
it's
sure,
definitely kind of killed the vibe for the streams, because it's like, you know, you can't
yeah,
listen.
Oh, yeah, man.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. I can't get in, like, the fucking groove, bro. Yeah, listen to my shit. I'm just, like, listening
to,
like,
if I have to listen to a trumpet go off one more time in my DMCA-free
that's,
music,
that's what
like,
I'm saying, dude. I just, the I vibes, know, the vibes have been shortened to very tiny vibes like this, so that's like cool. All right, I mean, Rizzo, you want to add anything to it?
I like how you put they should be paying us to advertise.
Oh yeah, I added a note in the little notes we have about how that we should be getting paid to play their music, you know, but that's not ever gonna happen anyway.
Besides that, I feel like the first record label or just any label to like be progressive with it, I guess, is like to make sort of like a subscription service or anything like that to where a streamer or a creator can use that would probably be pretty successful.
Monster Cat has a licensing thing.
Right, yeah, like Monster Cat does that, but I mean one of like the bigger labels with, you know,
oh
not
yeah,
not necessarily, I mean, Drake, but like, you know, whatever label they're, because they signed so many people,
yeah,
and like if you just get like
but that's like
bundle,
what's tough about it, like you can't bundle out your fucking Ariana Grande's, your Drake's, your, you know, these mega superstars, you can't bundle them out for $5 a month, bro.
No, I'm like, not saying that, $5. Like, I don't expect it to be cheap. Like,
yeah,
I don't expect
it to yeah,
be
it would
cheap,
have to be like pretty fucking legit, dude.
But
yeah,
like, yeah, it doesn't have to be you know, it's not like you're like a TV contract or something where they license a song or something. You know, it's not. I'm not saying it's
yeah,
like that, but any sort of service like that, and like they don't have to be the biggest artists. They could be like, you know, the mid tier, the lower tier. Well, yeah, at least some, give me something to work with.
B-list, bro.
I don't want to listen to elevator music the whole time. Please, just anything. Give me a lyric, something to listen to.
Yeah, yeah, right.
All right. Well, I think that kind of covers everything. There is one more thing that I was saving to ask Chad. So this is kind of interesting, you know, little inside scoop. So, Chad, this is completely off topic from everything we've talked about today.
Okay.
I just want you to, you know, tell me about when you got noticed in Japan.
When I got noticed in Japan?
About a double date.
Double date?
Wait, I think I heard this. I know about this, but I don't know what it is.
A double date? Wait, when I... Wait.
A double date and your friend's date...
Oh,
you.
My fucking God, that's right. Oh, my God, I forgot all about
so
this.
You, can
holy
you go,
shit.
Can you tell me the story? Can you tell
oh
me the story?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm full screen in the store. All right,
holy shit. I'm trying to think of who we were with. Oh, man. Okay, so.
So Chad went to Japan.
I was in Japan, yeah. So I was in Japan. I was there with my then girlfriend and some of her family. And we were hanging out. I forget where it was, but we were out and about downtown somewhere. And we went shopping somewhere. I think we were just in like Ginza or something, or we might have been in Harajuku. I can't remember, but we're out shopping and we met up with a family friend that was on the trip with them and with all of us.
Okay.
And he was like single and he was Tindering or whatever, like getting his swipe on while we were there. And so he like matches with a girl or whatever, and he's like talking to her. And so like they're gonna meet up, like she's gonna like come hang out with us, and it was like three of us, right? And so she's gonna come meet up with us, so it'll be like a little double date type scenario action, right?
Okay.
And so we're walking around this little area, like hitting up a couple stores, like just like Adidas store, you know, like checking out all the stuff in Japan. And we ended up going across the way to this little, like, it's like a bit of like an alley with like a bunch of seats and then a couple like food stands, right? So you got a couple like different I don't even remember, I think there was like ice creams and like corn and like some all kinds of like cool stuff. And so while like we're sitting there with this girl, she's like pretty shy, whatever. She's like pretty shy. She's like, wait, it's like seems to be going well, right? Like, you know, she's a little quiet, but like it seems like they're hitting it off like to a degree, right?
Okay.
And then she's like, hold on. Are you that Chad? And like the homie looks at me and I just look at him and I was like, what do you mean? And then like she discovers that it is me, the Chad that she knows me, from PUBG. Chad. From PUBG. And all my PUBG success.
No way.
And so, bro, this girl, bless her heart, she starts fangirling mad hard, bro. And she's supposed to be on a date with our boy right here. Bro, he's fucking pissed. He's over it. She's like talking to me, like staring at me, like asking me all these questions. Like, dude, yeah, it was definitely like hella uncomfortable. God, it was so fucking funny, dude. He literally got curved.
What did you just piece it on the girl?
Yeah. We ended up I want to say 15 minutes of that was like all he could take, and then we were like, okay, we gotta go. See you later. It was fun. Nice meeting you. All that. But dude, yeah, it got real weird.
Bro. Dude, that's hilarious.
It was so goddamn funny though, dude. It was so funny. Holy shit.
Chad's famous in Japan, I guess.
Well, are you the Chad?
You.
The Chad?
Did you think you'd ever hear that in your life? Are you the Chad?
No, dude, never. Never.
That's crazy, dude. A random girl in Japan recognizing Chad from PUBG. That is some next level shit.
I literally came there off Tinder for like the double date with our homie. And bro, the look of like defeat and sadness in his eyes at that moment, like, dude.
He probably was mad. He's like, holy fuck, I just got fucking curved in front of the homies, dude. By my own homie.
So fun.
That's crazy.
That was so fun. That was really funny, dude.
That's good. I'm glad we got to hear that. I'm glad I.
Oh, I forgot. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that was not the story I thought it was.
No, I'm glad I got the insider scoop because I wanted to get some nice little info on you before you.
Oh god, I wish I could remember like more details of the conversation because I'm sure it was just like juicy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I can remember. That was the gist of it.
All right. I'll ask you some more about it maybe off stream when you think about it more. But
yeah, I'll try to think. Remember right. The day.
That's pretty much it though, everyone. So
that's
you know,
all we got.
That is the biz. That is the biz. So
hey,
thank you for watching. You know, I make sure, hey, by the way, everyone, Chad, awesome dude, you know, @Chad on Twitter. Go follow him on Twitch, just Chad. He has the goat. You know, actually that's kind of goaty. Hey. You got what? Wait. Rizzo's the only one without just his name for both Twitter and Twitch. That's crazy.
Okay,
that's crazy. Imagine. Anyway,
where's the Twitter, man?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Some rat has it. Literal rat.
Damn. All right. Well, you know what it is. Hey, I'll link that shit. Hell yeah, Riz. Hell yeah. Hey,
yeah, copy paste. Link that. This is me. You know, I still put the links down.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Well,
wait, we should mention as well, We do have, I need to get these links. We do have the links for Apple Podcasts and Spotify now. So I should drop those in chat. So you'll be able to listen to that. And any YouTube listeners as well, those will be in the description.
Oh, let me link the YouTube. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yo, the YouTube has 5K subs. Chat, you guys gotta go sub.
Let's go.
Wait, how do we have 5K? Did you plug it today or something?
Not really. I mean, I put it in a video.
All right, I just really want to go sub. All right, everyone. Love you guys. Thank you for watching. Follow Chad on Twitter, Twitch, everything. Thank you for coming on, Chad. You're the GOAT. We appreciate
you. Hey, thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun, dude.
Hell yeah, baby.
Here are more links for you, Chad.
Yeah. Go follow everything, you know? And literally everything. Okay? All right, everyone. I don't have a... You know what? I'm going to do this. The one Rizzo sent. Where's the offline? Oh, here we go. There we go. We're offline now. It just is starting soon, but it's wrong. Nice. Okay. All right, everyone. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you for watching.
Good night.
Peace out.
Good night. Peace.
Okay.